changes in weather and the constellations of heaven, the return of the 10 tribes, the miraculous return of the saints to build the new Jerusalem and temple, the gathering of the elect, the miracles of the millennium, the mission and mighty powers of the 144,000, and the final celestialization of the earth at the end of the millennium. He saw these things as well as many other astonishing events long prophesied in Scripture, but never described in such vivid detail as this. Spencer began to have visions in his early 20s and has consistently been admonished by the Holy Spirit to keep most of these experiences sacred and even secret. The few times he tried to relate his visions to others, it cost him friends and has brought ridicule and rejection in some cases. Spencer has asked that I not use his real name for several reasons. First, he sustains the living prophet and his preeminent calling in revealing the Word of God to the church. These visions were given to Spencer to prepare him personally for what lay ahead in his own life. He has never considered that these visions of the future were for or about the Latter-day Church. He is therefore reluctant to release these visions in such a way that they may appear to be an attempt to influence the church in any way. This is simply not the case. Withholding his identity is an effective way of keeping these issues in their proper order. The second reason Spencer has asked that I not use his name is that he does not want to become the focal point of people's questions or hope for answers. He doesn't want to become anyone's guru. He doesn't want to give firesides or do public speaking about his experiences. As a matter of fact, he has obediently kept his experiences to himself for most of 40 years, in part to avoid this very possible outcome of letting these visions be published. He has tried in this book to speak everything the Holy Spirit would give him words to describe. Visions and events that were only personal or too sacred to share have been withheld. I have asked him thousands of questions to search out detail on these events he has shared. By the time this book is in print, Spencer will have emptied his treasure box of visionary experiences he is able to share at this time, and he does not wish to be asked for further information he does not have or is not able to share. Another reason for his reticence is that Spencer is a professional counselor of children and holds all the degrees necessary to work in this field. He rightly considers his work with troubled children to be his life's calling, and he does not want any form of recognition or curiosity to disrupt this most important work. I met Spencer through a series of improbable circumstances, so much so that the possibility of it being coincidental is inconceivable. A dear friend of Spencer's, who knew small snippets of his experiences, moved into a ward with my sweet and very spiritual daughter, and over time they became close friends. In talking of the spiritual influences in their lives, my daughter spoke of me, and this friend of Spencer spoke of him. They decided we should introduce John to Spencer. After a period of time, my daughter sent me a text with Spencer's name and a suggestion that I call him. She thought we would hit it off, as she put it. I'm usually not responsive to suggestions like that because they make for awkward moments of struggling to find common ground from which to hit it off. Spencer's friend did the same with him, as he was reluctant to call me for the same reasons. One afternoon I was walking through the house, and the Spirit whispered, "Call Spencer now." I knew it was the Holy Spirit, so I went to my study and pulled out my phone, not knowing what to expect, but I knew I needed to call right then. Spencer answered, and I introduced myself. Spencer replied in a most joyful tone, "Yes, I have been most anxious to meet with you. When would be your earliest convenience?" His words struck me as puzzling because I didn't know until later that he had also had my contact information. I thought I was cold calling him. As an additional note of interest, during the many months of interviews and writing, I have tried to call Spencer dozens of times and have never gotten through. The only time he actually answered the phone was that first call. In all other cases, I left a message and he returned my call. We met the following week, and without resorting to hyperbole, it was the most spiritual 2 hours of my life. He began to tell me a few of his experiences, and I was thunderstruck. The reason was simply this: I have studied, sought, prayed, and obtained glimpses of my own journey through the latter days, but I have never heard another living person speak of these exact things. In those first few minutes, he spoke of those very things in matter-of-fact terms. I could hardly contain my curiosity and my anxiousness to hear more. Where I had learned of these things, he had seen them, and I was intrigued to hear everything he had seen because he appeared to be describing parts of my own journey. I never told anyone except my wife. I understood most everything he was speaking about. After a while, I felt the Spirit strongly say that he was describing